Amen. Happy Friday. You made it through. You're all standing here in one piece. You made it through the first week. Congratulations. Celebrate the little things. One quick announcement. If you are looking, we're at the beginning of the semester, and if you are looking for a way to get involved with something that's going to challenge your faith, we've got a couple opportunities in campus ministry. First, there is a May term Brazil immersion trip that we have some open spots for. There's going to be an information meeting on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Keppel House. That's Theo. And secondly, if you want to get involved with a small group of some time, we've got a couple different opportunities. We're starting these new affinity groups led by James Ellis called First Steps, talking about the basics of faith, and one that's led by me and Derek called Next Step. We're going to be talking about how to read the Bible. Information about that is on our website. We're launching our student small groups next week, too. Those are going to be around spiritual disciplines. Student-led small groups are on spiritual disciplines. Information on our website. And lastly, Nancy Smith is leading a Bible study on body image, and that information is on our website as well. Before we begin, let me pray for us. God, you hold the whole world in your hands. And you have made all of its people in your image. No matter what country they live in, God, you have made us all in your image. Speak to us now. Help us to know how to follow you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we started off this week, this semester in chapel, by taking a step back and thinking about the big picture, giving us hopefully a chance to recalibrate for a second. To think about how God fits in to the routine of our life. So, this morning, we're going to continue with that by reading a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, starting in verse 16. So, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take those out or turn them on. You can find this passage on page 800 of the Pew Bible if you want to reach in front of you. So, listen now to the Word of God. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who's good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to Jesus, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I've kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord. So you've got this young person, and we can gather a little bit about this guy from the story, right? We know that he's young. I picture him with all the zealous enthusiasm of a guy in his 20s, perhaps who thinks he can run a half marathon without training or hydrating. We know that he's rich, right? Matthew tells us that too. He has a lot of stuff that he cares a lot about. And so this young, rich guy sees Jesus one day, and he runs up to him and fervently asks him this question: "What good deed do I need to do to have eternal life? What good deed do I need to do to have eternal life?" So Jesus says, "What? What do you mean, good? Good deed? What?" Maybe he shakes his head, sighs, takes that thoughtful teacher moment, you know, where they're trying to decide how to direct the conversation so that you actually learn something. Like, they're not going to just spoon feed it to you. They're going to make you work to get there. And so playing with this young guy a little bit, Jesus says this: "Well, if you want to enter into life, which I think is an interesting phrase, that's an interesting phrase to me when I think about what the young man asked. If you want to enter into life, Jesus continues, keep the commandments. Awkward pause. The young person surprised a little bit, maybe. Commandments. That's it? Black and white, yes and no, right and wrong, check the boxes and that's it? You get the sense that this really isn't satisfactory to the young man. I've tried that. It's not helping me feel like I've got this eternal life that people say is so meaningful. So he asks Jesus, which ones? And Jesus lists the big ones. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your parents, love others like you love yourself. And the young man responds, okay, I've done that. I've kept all these. Some manuscripts even add, I've kept all these since my youth. I've been doing that since I was a kid, and I'm still missing something. So the young man pushes Jesus further with it, with what I believe is a really important follow-up question, and he asks, what do I still lack? It's ironic what happens next. Jesus tells the man to go sell everything that he has and give the money to the poor. You see, the man asks Jesus what he still lacks, and Jesus says, you lack nothing. You lack nothing, and that's the problem, or at least the beginning of it. You don't need God. You can handle it on your own, or at least you're trying to. There's no space for God in your life to be God. So if you're really serious about wanting to enter into life, life with God, I think that's such a beautiful description. If you want to enter into life, you're going to have to change some things. Get rid of the things that make you think you don't need God, or worse, that you are God. Get rid of the idols. The things that suck your time and take your attention and steal your affection. Sell your things, give the money to the people who are actually lacking something. And then, Jesus says, and then we'll begin. Then come follow me. What an interesting answer to a question about eternal life. What does it mean to be a Christian, someone asks. Is it having a set of beliefs? Sort of. Like this young man, you need to know who has the answers to questions about eternal life. Is it behaving a certain way, following a set of rules? Sort of. Like this young man, we should be reflecting the gospel to a world that watches us. But entering into Christian life is more than these things, even if it can't be had without them. It's not just about a decision we make or things we believe. The Christian life is about life lived in relationship with God. Like being a son or daughter, a grandson or granddaughter, it's something that's deeply part of who we are at all times in everything we do, whether we're alone or with the team, when we're mad, when we're excited, when we're joyful, when we're sad. Been reading too much Dr. Seuss lately, can you tell? What Jesus is trying to tell this man is that eternal life is about life lived now in relationship with God, in a desperate need for God. This constant state of recognizing that we are the creature and we depend on our relationship with the Creator. In the Bible, whenever Jesus calls people to follow him, to become a Christian, we might say, to have eternal life, to use the rich young man's phrase, Jesus asks them to do two things. First, he asks them to make space in their life. To Peter and Andrew, Jesus says, drop your fishing nets. To Mary and Martha, he says, leave your busy work. To Paul, he says, abandon your zealous convictions. To the rich young man, he says, sell all your possessions. Make space in your life for God to move and act like God. Unclutter your mind. Simplify. Clarify. Prioritize. And then with that space, Jesus then secondly asks us to follow him. Now, that can be a little bit confusing to us now, right? Because we can't see Jesus the way this rich young man did. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus still shows up in the world. I believe it because I've experienced it. When we loosen our white knuckle grip on our busy schedules and our ideologies, when we make space in our life, you'll begin to notice that Jesus is still showing up. When we worship together, Jesus shows up in our song or at the communion table. When we read together, Jesus shows up in scripture. When we live life together, Jesus shows up in our friendships, in our classes, in our learning, even in things like movies and books and speeches by Oprah. Jesus shows up all over the place if we have the space in our lives to see it. It's 2018, and I need to create better space. I'm ready to need God more, to sell the idols, the things that keep me from thinking that I don't need God, that I don't need to listen or pay attention anymore. No, I'm ready to start paying closer attention. I'm ready to expect Jesus to show up, and I'm ready to even be surprised by where Jesus shows up and what he says. So what about you? Do you need to make space to let go and sell a few things or all the things so you can recognize when Jesus shows up? What are you going to do to make that space, to cultivate what Rowan Williams calls a habit of attentiveness, to really notice Jesus and where Jesus calls us? I'm going to be on my phone less. I have an app. It's called Moment. It tracks every moment that I'm on my phone, and it's convicting to go to bed at night and see that I've been on my phone for 2 hours. I can make that space. I can make space there. I'm going to use that space for silence and prayer and scripture more so I can hear where Jesus is calling us. And on the days when I can't, I'm going to be mindful about looking for Jesus to show up in the events of the day or the news around the world. I'm going to be intentional looking for Jesus to show up in my community, those with whom I'm in step with and those with whom I have disagreements. I'm going to ask, what Jesus do you have for me, for us, in this person, in this community? So what about you? Do you need God? Have you realized that yet? Go, Jesus says. Sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. Go in peace.